والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد.
واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We discussed tayammum in the last class, and today it's the turn for ghusl. And soon we'll be starting the ahkam of prayers, inshallah. Obviously, in these classes, we are not talking all the details. We're just talking the mainstream and some of the most important points, so that we can pay attention to those things. So there are seven types of ghusl. Ghusl actually means the Islamic way of washing. And I intentionally say that because when we say ghusl, there are some people who say, well, I take a shower. Well, taking a shower is not the Islamic way of washing. We are talking about the Islamically prescribed specific procedure of doing the bath. So that's a special procedure that we have to learn, that specific way. So that Islamic procedure, wa alaykum as-salam, of washing is what we call ghusl. Islamic procedure of washing. Washing your body. And ghusl in Islam is of six types in total. Of Janabat. And the second one is ghusl of hayz, which is related to the woman, their monthly period. Third of all is nifas, the ghusl of nifas, which is the childbirth blood for the woman. There's a ghusl related to that in Islam. And fourth of all is the ghusl of istihadha. This is also for the woman. Untimely blood flowings. And fifth of all is Massal Mayyit, touching the dead body. There's a ghusl related to that. And sixth and last of all is the ghusl related to your nazar, if any, if you make a nazar, or ahad, or qasam, you swear in the Islamic way of swearing that I will do the ghusl, then it will become wajib on you because of that. Or you do the Islamic way of nazar, obliging yourself, lillahi alayya an af'ala kadha. I think we learned that earlier too. If you read the Islamic formula and siga for nazar in Arabic or in its exact translation in your own language, then it becomes wajib on you to do the ghusl. And the siga in Arabic for nazar is lillahi alayya an af'ala kadha. It is for the sake of Allah, it's incumbent upon me to do this and this and this if Allah does that. For instance, if you say it in your own language, for the sake of Allah, it is incumbent upon me to slaughter a sheep if Allah gives cure to my son. Then you make this niyat, it will become wajib on you if your son gets the shifa to fulfill your nazar. So this is called Islamic nazar. So you do nazar, or you do ahad, or you do the qasam, one of the names of Allah, billahi, wallahi, tallahi, birrahman, birabbil alameen, any of the specific names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this nazar, this qasam becomes wajib to fulfill. So these are the six types of ghusl in Islam. Now the ghusl of janabat is divided into two. We will talk about the two things, but ghusl of janabat becomes wajib due to two reasons. We call them mujibat al ghusl. Well, mujibat, it will not be the plural, it will be mujiba al ghusl, because it's a tasniya. You only have two reasons. Due to two reasons, the ghusl becomes wajib. So there is no plural for that. And due to two reasons. Ghusl of janabat is something related to the men and women both. It's most frequently, one of the most frequently encountered Islamic bath that we have to take. And we need to learn it precisely so we do the things right. First of all, the sexual intercourse. And sexual intercourse in the Islamic definition is defined as, even if the qadr al-hashafa, even if the amount which is circumcised, even that much has been penetrated into the private parts of the wife, then even that much has been penetrated, whether somebody has the ejaculation or not, is irrelevant. Even if that much amount has been penetrated, ghusl of janabat will become wajib even if the money does not come out. That's the first reason for ghusl of janabat. And the second reason for ghusl of janabat is ihtilam. That means the wet dreams. If someone has the wet dream, ghusl of janabat will be wajib on him or her. These are two reasons why it becomes wajib. And now, the sign of ghusl of janabat. Signs are three. There are three signs of ghusl of janabat. First of all, it comes out with shahwat, with lust. Second of all, because there are people, especially the youth in the initial age, who have hard time recognizing whether it is the money coming out or not, and ghusl of janabat is wajib or not. La haya'a fid deen, there is no haya, and we should not be hesitant in learning the Islamic rulings so we can do our worships correctly. It comes out with shahwat and lust, and second of all, it comes with difq, that means force, comes out with force. It gushes out. Third of all, the third sign of that is that ghusl of janabat, after that, the body of a person becomes, the body becomes lazy after that. These are three signs in our Sharia to recognize whether it is money or something else. And if a person is sick, these two signs will not count for a sick person, b for a woman. So the sick people and the women should not count these two signs. Only this first sign is enough to recognize that what came out is money, and so the ghusl of janabat became wajib upon them. This is for the regular person. These are three signs to recognize. Now the procedure of doing the ghusl of janabat, procedure of doing the ghusl, actually we have a standard ghusl procedure which I call SGP. There is one standard procedure in Islam for doing ghusl. There are no multiple procedures of doing various ghusls are done in various different ways. So there's all these ghusls are done in one standard way, and that standard procedure of ghusl has to be learned. Procedures are two. Obviously there is one procedure. When we say there is one standard procedure, we mean the standard procedure for the ghusl of tartibi is one. Ghuslun tartibiyun. For the ghusl, the tartibi ghusl, there is one standard procedure for that. Now if you don't want to do the tartibi kind of ghusl, you can also do another way, which is called ghuslun irtimasi. Irtimasi can also be done. So we were talking about earlier, we were talking about the ghusl of tartibi, which is one standard procedure for that. Whether you do ghusl of janabat in the tartibi format, whether you do, somebody does ghusl of hajj in the tartibi format, or nifas, or istihadha, or masl mayyit, or ghusl of nadr, ahad, qasam. If you do it in the tartibi format, there's one standard procedure for doing that. All the ghusl. We'll come to the irtimasi in a short while. Let's first discuss the ghuslun tartibi. Ghuslun tartibi means the sequential bath. So you take the bath in a sequence. So first of all, after the niyat, you wash your head and your neck. Second of all, you wash your right side from the front and the back both. And third of all, you wash your left side from the front and the back both. So these are three steps after making your niyat. This is the sequence. You have to abide by the sequence. If somebody messes up the sequence in the tartibi ghusl, sequential baths, then obviously the ghusl is batil and invalid. You have to do it again. So obviously after making the niyat, after making the niyat, obviously, just like we have the same similar rulings regarding wudu. For the ghusl is also the similar rulings, that before you start the ghusl, you have to make sure that your body doesn't have any obstacle which blocks the water to reach the body. The obstacle needs to be removed first. The body has to be tahir, Islamically clean, before you wash it. And obviously the water has to be mubah, permissible from the owner's behalf for you to use it. And the place where you're doing the ghusl has to be mubah. All those things, just like we studied about the wudu, similarly they apply on the wudu, on the ghusl. So assuming all those conditions are there, the water is mubah, permitted by the owner, the place is permitted for you to stand and or sit or whatever situation to do the ghusl in, and your body doesn't have any obstacles like ballpoint ink or any other thing which blocks, nail polish, any other thing that blocks the water from reaching the skin, and water is tahir, Islamically clean. Now, and so on and so forth. So now that you start your ghusl after the niyat, you will make the niyat, obviously in your mind, you have to have the theme that you don't have to say it. Even in your mind, you don't have to say it, but the theme should be there. The qasdul qalb, the intention, the theme should be in your heart. And I'm doing the ghusl of janabat qurbatan ilallah. That's enough. If you have this much intention in your heart that I'm doing the ghusl of janabat qurbatan ilallah, ghusl of janabat tartibi qurbatan ilallah, that's enough. Obviously, you are doing it in a sequence, so it is tartibi. You're not immersing your body, you're not dipping your body in water all at once. That's irtimasi. You're not doing that. So you're doing in a sequence, so it is tartibi. So after making the niyat, you will first wash your head and neck. It doesn't matter if water goes from top to towards the bottom or bottom towards the top. What is required is to wash the whole head and the neck. And obviously we cover, if you remember, we studied the Mimbab al-Muqaddimah in wudu. So we wash a little bit more in wudu, which we call Mimbab al-Muqaddimah. So a little bit more we used to wash in wudu, from a little bit higher than the elbows, so we make sure the wajib amount is washed. Similarly here, when you're washing the head and the neck, you wash a little bit further down from the neck, from all the four sides, to make sure we did not miss on any part of the neck. So you wash a little bit further down from all the four sides. This is called Mimbab al-Muqaddimah, as a prelude, as a muqaddimah towards wajib. And muqaddimah of wajib is also wajib. So make sure the wajib is done correctly. So you do a little bit more than what is wajib to make sure the wajib is done correctly. So you wash a little bit further down from the neck, from all the four sides, to make sure the neck is completely washed and also the head. We don't have to wash inside our mouth or inside the nose. Whatever is visible in the front, from the front of the nose, from the front of the lips, from front of the ear, whatever is visible from the outside, if somebody looks at it, that much has to be clean, and you have to wash that much. You don't have to make sure that water reaches into those parts which are not visible from the outside. Only those parts which are visible from outside should be washed. So when I close my lips, whatever part of my lips are hidden, it's not wajib on me to wash that much. Okay? Like I'm closing my lips right now, this much is visible. So it's wajib to wash this much which is visible when I close the lips. So whatever is visible from the outside. Obviously, if somebody's ears are dirty, filthy, you need to clean that before you start the ghusl. If it is dirty from the outside, somebody can see their filth and dirt, then you have to clean it before you start the ghusl. This is, or if your head is oily, you have to wash it with the soap first, so you don't, you let the water reach your hair. We cannot leave a single hair or a single millimeter of the body without water reaching it. So if water does not reach any single millimeter of the body, it is batil. The ghusl will be batil. You have to make sure water reaches the whole body. So head and neck, is that clear? Now we move to the second part, which is the right hand side. Right hand side, the right half of your body. If you cut your body like this in half, so this is the right half. So the right half from the front and the right half from the back. That has to be washed. That's the second step. So we include the private parts when we are washing the right hand side, the private parts from the front and the back, and we also include the private parts when we are washing the left hand side, from the front and the back, the private parts from the front and the back also included in the left hand side. So raise your feet so you can make sure water reaches this area. Some people just keep on standing like this, so you don't make sure water is reaching under your feet. This is part of your right hand side, isn't it right? If you have filth or dirt inside your nails, which you think the water will not reach under the dirt and the filth, and it will not reach under it, then you have to remove it and make your nails clean before you start the ghusl. If you think the water will reach it, that's okay. The full right hand side has to be washed. Doesn't matter you wash your feet first or your stomach first or your shoulder first, doesn't matter. From top to bottom, bottom to top, doesn't matter, it's all okay. Yes, between the fingers of the foot, the water should also be reaching there, yes. It does reach usually, and it should reach, yes. So this is about the right hand side, and similarly then Mimbab al-Muqaddimah applies here as well. So we wash a little bit further towards the left from the front of the body, and a little bit further towards the left from the back of the body. So we make sure the wajib amount of the half of the right hand side is completely washed. A little bit further towards the left from the front and the back both. This is Mimbab al-Muqaddimah. Is that okay? So then we move forward towards the left hand side. Obviously we wash the left half, and the left half similarly we wash from the front and the back. You can wash the back first, the front first, the feet first, shoulder first, doesn't matter. All we need is to wash the whole left hand side, private parts included, also in both right and the left side washings, and little bit when you're washing the left hand side, little bit further towards the right. So you make sure Mimbab al-Muqaddimah that the complete left hand side is washed fully. So this is the standard procedure of Islam for doing ghusl. This is called ghusl tartibi, the sequential ghusl. If after the ghusl you find out that something in your left hand is there like a ballpoint ink which blocks the water, the whole ghusl is not batil. You need to now go and wash that ballpoint ink, remove it, and then making your niyat of the ghusl of tartibi, I'm doing the ghusl of tartibi, ghusl janabat, which is tartibi, qurbatan ilallah, and then you wash this much segment which was remaining and the ballpoint ink was here blocking the water to reach, and it remained without the water of the ghusl reaching that spot. You, after making the niyat, you wash it, and now your ghusl is complete. You don't have to repeat the ghusl again from the head, starting from the head and neck, and then right hand side, left hand side. Is that clear? That's the benefit of ghusl tartibi. If you have something remaining on your right hand side, let's suppose you discovered after the end of the ghusl that you have some ballpoint ink remaining on your right hand side, on your hand for example. Now your head and neck is correct, that was washed correctly. What you need is now remove the ballpoint ink from your right hand, and now making the niyat of your ghusl, you wash this part which remained, wash it so water reaches that part of the skin. Now you don't have to repeat the complete right hand side, only this much where it was, there was a blocking, wash this much, and then repeat the whole left hand side again. Okay, if you found something on your head or neck like a ballpoint ink which was blocking, then you wash, make the niyat, you remove that ink, make the niyat and wash that much area where the water did not reach. Then you don't have to wash the whole head and neck again, just that much area. Then you have to wash the whole right hand side again and the whole left hand side again. Is that clear? So that's the way we do it. So this is about the ghusl tartibi. Now let's move forward towards ghusl irtimasi. Ghusl irtimasi, irtimas means immersing in water. So irtimasi means you jump into the water pond or pool and all at once. You can also go tadrijiyan, gradually into water. You put your feet first and gradually your rest of the body. That's also irtimasi, that's okay. Make the niyat and go gradually into water. That's also acceptable. Or you can just do the niyat and dive into water all of a sudden, and your whole complete body has to go into water fully. So make the niyat and dive into water, and water reaches whole parts of all the parts of your body, your ghusl is done. It takes 3 seconds. So this is ghusl timasi. Now after the ghusl, if you find out that you're somewhere that you had a ball point ink, obviously the whole ghusl will be batil. Now you have to remove that ball point ink and you have to immerse into water again. Okay, because this is not tartibi, this is timasi. You were dipping the whole body all at once. Now you have to dip the body again, okay, for the ghusl timasi. No. As long as water reaches all parts and you have yakin, that's okay. So there are 5 things which are haram for a mujnib. Shall I erase all this? Obviously.
I thought you were saying that one of the conditions was that you have to be clean before you do the ghusl.
Yeah, obviously Islamically clean, if you cannot do the ghusl with the najis body. Yeah, in a tartibi what you can do is that you can make your head and neck tahir, Islamically clean, and do the niyat and start the ghusl tartibi and wash your head and neck. Your right hand side is still najis. Now that you are done with the right cleaning, you're done with the ghusl of the head and the neck, then you can make your right hand side pak and tahir, Islamically clean. Then you wash the right hand side. Now the left hand side is also najis. Then you wash the left hand side in the Islamic procedure to make it pak and tahir, and then you do the ghusl of that side. That's okay. Your whole body doesn't need to be pak and tahir, Islamically clean all at once. But in the ghusl irtimasi, the whole body has to be clean all at once before you start it.
But isn't the ghusl Islamic cleaning?
Yes.
So how do you...
Islamic cleaning, Islamic washing. Ghusl Islamic washing. Islamic washing, you do it after you are tahir.
So Islamic cleaning is just like regular cleaning?
No, it's a regular cleaning of things that we studied in Taharat rulings when we're talking about najasat, how to clean ourselves, 11 najasat, 10 mutahhirat, 10 cleaning agents, how to clean which najasat through what cleaning agent. Certain things are cleaning agents for certain things only. Sun rays clean the roofs and the land, you know, it does not clean my clothes, for example. So there are certain things, we did study all that in long time ago, but if you people want, we can repeat those rules again.
One more question about the body oil. If you do not apply any external oil, but your body needs some oil, is that necessary to remove the soap before?
No, it's not necessary if it doesn't block water. If it blocks water, yes, you have to wash your body before you start the ghusl so the water reaches the skin. If it is just a little bit of oily skin and you have yaqeen that water reaches your skin, then that's okay. But if it's some people have very much oily skins, if you think this water is not going to reach, then you have to wash it before you start the ghusl. Okay, there are 5 things which are haram on a mujnib person. A mujnib is the person who is in the condition of janabat. Okay, and there are 5 things which are haram. First of all, touching the Quran. Touching the text of Quran. You cannot touch the text. That will be haram. Likewise, the names of Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, Rahim as-Salam, Imams. names, sorry?
In Arabic, right?
In Arabic. Names of Allah in any name, in any language. But names of the Prophet and the Imams in Arabic only. That in Arabic only, names of Allah, name of Allah in any language. We cannot touch it. Second of all, stepping a single step into Al-Masjid al-Haram means the sacred mosque where the Holy Kaaba is located. The name of the masjid is Al-Masjid al-Haram. The sacred mahram means the sacred mosque, the one which has hurmat and respect. And the second one is Masjid al-Nabi, the masjid of the Prophet. Even stepping a single step into those two masjids is haram. You cannot even put a single step inside. Third of all, staying in the rest of the masajid. Staying means tawakkuf. If you stop, if you can enter the rest of the masjids in the world, you can enter from one door and step out walking from the other door. You cannot stop. That's haram. That will be counted as tawakkuf. And staying for whatever duration. If you stop, you're doing a haram. You can just keep on walking, enter into any masjid from one door and walk out from the other without stopping for any short while. So this is, walking like this is allowed, but stopping in any masjid and also the harams of imams. Harams of Imams, it has the same ruling. We cannot stop there. It should also be, that Harams of Imams should also be avoided according to Ihtiyat al-Wajib. Fourth of all, putting anything, you take your Mufatih al-Jinan, Quran, Turbat, Tasbih, Sibha, anything, and you enter into the masjid, or enter from one door, keep on walking, you put your Mufatih al-Jinan and then you walk out from the other door. This is haram. You cannot put anything into the masjid. Putting a thing in the masjid, in any masjid, is haram for the junub. You can pick up anything, but you cannot put anything there. Fifth and last of all is Qira'atul Azaim. That means reciting any segment of Azaim, surahs of Quran. Azaim are those surahs which have the ayat of sajda, the ayat of the wajib sajda in it. They are called Azaim. You cannot read any segment of that surah when you are mujnib. You cannot even read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim with the niyat that it is part of that surah. Reading Bismillah will also become haram on you. So any segment of those five surahs is haram upon the mujnib in the time of janabat. And those five surahs are the following. Fifty-three and 96. 32 is Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and 41 is Ha Mim Sajda, and 53 is An-Najm, and 96 is Surah Iqra. These are the four surahs where we have one ayat where the sajda is wajib, one ayat in each of those four surahs. And obviously reading any segment of those surahs is haram on the mujnib. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. If you have any questions,